Welcome back to the Becoming a Great Dad podcast. This is season 2, episode 2. I'm looking at the website March 11th of this year. Actually, I thought it was 2002, but I'm sorry, 22, but March 11th was the first episode of season 2. So that goes to show you, whatever happened after March 11th until today, I was going through it, because that's a long-ass gap. April, May, June, July, August. I was having some stuff, which, I mean, you know, hey, I mean, which is definitely true. You know, there has been a lot of pain and struggling and growth and healing, to which, again, I will definitely get into specifics on later episodes, because I just, you know, today is the last day of 2023. I just honestly, I've been trying to get back on the saddle of podcasting for a couple days now. And, you know, I do this thing where I plan, and then, you know, I just kind of wait to execute. And I was like, you know what, let me just go ahead and just do this. So this will be my second episode in the new year, with hopefully some more episodes to come out in 2024. So again, just want to knock the dust off. This is not going to be one of those long, intrusive, you know, high production with the sound effects podcast. I don't even really have a detailed topic. I normally flesh out my topics. This one, I've been kicking around the idea of a parental inventory, and I'll tell you where it came from. You know, I just, by habit, it's not a resolution thing. It's a personal thing that I do toward the end of the year. I just kind of stop and take a moment to do a personal inventory of my life. You know, hey, you know, what could I be doing better as, you know, as a father, a husband, a person, whatever the case is, you know? And inadvertently, I started to do that this year with the kids. And kind of one of those things to be like, okay, all right, let me try to outdo myself again from last year. And again, this whole idea of a parental inventory kind of came up. And, you know, there are three questions that I jotted down, and I'm going to go through each question with you that, you know, I mean, if you vision board, if you do resolutions, you know, if you are kind of in that mode of thinking like, hey, you know, what could I do better? I think this is a great exercise, I think, for anyone, mom or dad, you know, to write down these questions, write down these answers. Now, the first question, and I'm not going to take credit for this. This is a question my wife Toya came up with, and she's sitting in the room right now, so I'm doing this in front of a live studio audience. I thought at first when she asked this one day, I thought she was nuts, y'all. I was like, nope, I'm not doing it. You're not about to have me go down. But I was honest with myself in the fact that I was like, I'm not ready for the answer to whatever this question is. But later on, I mean, way later on, not in March, obviously, but like in December, took me like 9 months to really whatever. I thought, man, that was a very, not only was it diabolical, but it was a very genius question to ask, which is, and this is not a question that you ask yourself internally, right? You ask it of your children, right? So like you would go to each child and she would say, hey, so-and-so, how can I be a better mom? And I was like, that ain't no way, boss. You ain't about to get me. Nope, ain't no way. I'm not about to even. And honestly, my thing was like, I don't want that. You know, like, you know, think about going to your child right now, wherever you at. Stop and pause and turn around and ask them, what could I be doing to be a better so-and-so? You know, that's a very scary question, and I think it's scary for us as parents because, I mean, you know, I think we kind of cringe at, you know, what the response may be. I mean, we would all loved is for this to be a, oh my God, Dad, you're just the best ever. I don't, there's nothing more, there's nothing more I need for you. You provide me clothes and food and oxygen. What more, you know, fine.
Not oxygen.
Yes, oxygen. But, you know, there is a thought of, man, like what would they honestly say? It's kind of almost like you ever been at a job and they have, it's called 360 feedback, where you get feedback of somebody else, but then they get feedback of you. I don't like that. I don't subscribe to that. But again, I thought, man, what a way, you know, what a way to ask a question and to really get down to the meat of the person you are serving. Doesn't matter if they're 2 or 22. I mean, essentially, as parents, we are here to serve them, you know. And what better way to find out how we can be, I'm going to use this phrase, better servant leaders. Shameless plug from a thing I learned at work. But how can we be a better servant leader to our children? And I wanted to ask Toya her, I guess not opinion, but what, because I don't know the answer to this. What do you do? Like, how do you prepare yourself? How does someone prepare themselves for whatever the answer will be? Like, I mean, if the answer stings, if it's, you know, some bad medicine, if you thought it was going to be whatever, but it's maybe a great answer, how does one prepare them? Come up to the mic, Toy. Come on. Come on up. Here you go.
School bag.
Scooting back. All right.
All right.
Take it away.
So we have, and I'm sure you covered this in season one, how many children and the age ranges.
But yeah, definitely.
We're ranging from the oldest turning 25 in May, right? To down to 5 turning 6. Now, if you have any older kids, or if you could even stop and think about yourself, if you have any mommy or daddy wounds, right? I ask myself a lot of, I'm always asking myself questions, and I teach the children to ask themselves questions and be quiet and brave enough to listen for the answer. Do I want to wait to find out what I could be doing better when they're 20 something and their whole dating life and everything around their whole life is centered around the things that I wasn't able to meet with them? Or do I want to meet that now? Do I want to find out later when, you know, they've used 10 years building up a silent animosity in their minds? Do I want to wait those years to see the amount of pain that could be waiting for me? And I know that no matter how emotionally intelligent I am, there's something that I'm missing. And my need for good results is stronger than my fear of rejection, which I have a heavy fear of rejection, but that's why people can label me fearless. It's not that, it's just that I don't want the bad results. And that's what I lead with in my mind. So I asked the question. I first asked Emmanuel. No, I asked Heaven before too. What could I do better? And she gave her response. And if they say something and this is what I believe in, giving kids a voice. After chastising or whatever like that, if I've given them a lecture or, you know, their daddy have given them a lecture or something like that, like the other night, when you were lighting into the kids, y'all, he was lighting into the... I be trying to tell
Nobody
these kids.
Nobody needs to know about that. That'll be on the How to Punish Your Children Properly episode.
No, and not physically or anything like that, but he was setting them straight. You know, sometimes you have to stomp your foot a little bit, you know, and after he walked out of the room, I was like, I wonder what they're thinking. So I called one of them over. I said, what are you thinking? You know, to try to see where they're at, because if they're hearing, like one day I asked Bino, how was she feeling after I chastised her, which is a lecture, obviously. She said, I feel like you're being mean to me. And I said, I'm sorry that it feels like I'm being mean to you and that my tone may make you feel uncomfortable. You know, I'm sorry about that. But we have to acknowledge that there's a bunch of things that happen before I get to that point. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So when they start, when you get the bad stuff that they say, depends if you're just being, look, if you're an asshole, you're an asshole. Okay? You know what I'm saying?
You'll find out.
But honestly, you know. But, you know, honestly, when you get the feedback, if it's immature, you know the best part about that is you get to iron it out. You don't want that to sit in their mind because they're really going to believe that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They're going to believe that, and eventually that's going to build a reality that does not exist. But they're going to have actions. They're going to have disrespect. They're going to make choices in relationship contingent upon that fake reality in their mind.
So even if, and so I think the biggest thing is, you know, is either A, you know, they could say something that might sting a little bit, but one, it may be the truth, mm-hmm. or two, they could say something mm-hmm. that might be from a point of immaturity, yep. which mm-hmm. which is a great thing because mm-hmm. you can address that. Hey, that perception that you have as mm-hmm. an 8-year-old, you know, is not reality, and you can Wild. Iron that out to help them, you know, to go, okay, well, here's the real thing about it, and they can feel like, you know, mm-hmm. they had a voice.
Seen,
and you can
feel like that, respected.
Okay, well, I also know where you're at in this given time. Okay, I
yep.
like that.
Mm-hmm. And like how we do often with the kids, sometimes you got to iron them out like they're a wrinkled t-shirt with starch, you know, because they'll lose their mind.
Oh, by the way, we need starch downstairs in the laundry room.
Okay.
I was trying to iron Bina's shirt and I need starch.
I noticed you were struggling with
yeah,
that.
Thank you.
Okay, you could always use a steam though. That's what the water button
is.
Though.
I don't trust the steam button though.
All right.
You know, because like, you know how you press the steam button and like the little brown stuff come out the iron?
That's because you need to put distilled water in the iron. But also, stop trying to save money and buy a cheap iron.
All right, you know what? Let's get back to the episode. This is not. Thank you, Tori, for coming. All right, thank you. Da-da-da-da-da.
No, seriously.
Cue the music.
Seriously, we do need a better iron. But anyway, so with that, they feel respected, right? Or we do this thing where we kind of iron out what we do. Like when you hear them griping about, well, there was one of them, one of the older kids. Well, I feel this way about dishes and people dirtying up this and just leaving it. Now, mind you, these kids clean the clean house. We keep a house clean, you know, and we had to blanketly statement like, hey, look, you literally wash the dishes, right? We pay all of this stuff. We do all of this stuff. That is basically your rent, washing the dishes. That's it. You know, so that's an example of airing something out. Or there's this other thing, and I'll separate now after this, but there's this other thing I started doing with the youngest, Bina, because she can tend to think that, oh, you're being mean or you're being this. So in the midst of correcting, I would say, hey, do you realize that I've told you to stop doing that 3 times? Okay, how many times do you mm-hmm. think before I'm going to start getting angry? Yeah. Making them realize their own actions.
Right.
And then giving them respect to even explain stuff to them, because people don't want to give kids respect because you know, especially if you're a traditionalist, you try to hold on to that, I'm the parent, you know. But if you don't give your kids respect and teach them about respect, how are they going to get respect in the streets? How are they going to know what they deserve? But that's my 2-bit. Thank you for having me.
All right. There you go. So obviously I am not the fearless parent. I am the scaredy cat because I would never ask that. But to her point, you know, much later on, I thought, man, that, you know, that is a great question to really, I mean, and again, you know, we might be so worried, you know, as dads about, man, what if it's going to be an answer I don't really want to hear. Well, I mean, do you really want to grow? This is not How to Become a Good Dad podcast, okay? So moving on to my second question, which is, what do I want for them? I have my little notebook in front of me to show a good example. I'll just pick one topic from one of them to kind of show you, but you know, but for our youngest daughter, you know, she's at that stage where she is starting to learn how to read. So, you know, I wrote down, hey, you know, I I want her to be a better reader. You know, I have seen from my other two sons how learning to read early can be beneficial. And then, you know, they are both avid readers and reading well above grade average. And that's my want for her. For Emmanuel, our youngest son, you know, I want, you know, they got about 17 music instruments for Christmas. I don't think they got them all at once. I think we already had some music instruments and they just got more added on there. So obviously this is a musical household. For him, I wrote down music time. And that simply means, you know, I want him to try to dedicate more time throughout his day or week to practice music or just play around with the instruments and just see where that leads him. Now, this third question, I didn't even come up with this question until a couple of days ago, but it was when I was trying to, you know, just write out notes for this episode. And again, I think this third question is very similar to the first question and even a little more diabolical and genius as well, but it kind of ties into the second question. And, you know, it doesn't ask, what do I want for them? It asks, what do they want for themselves? And I thought, I've been, you know, making a list and writing down, well, I want her to do this and him to do that. I never thought to ask, hey, you know, is there anything that you want for yourself? You know, is there any goal or accomplishment or task or idea that you want to see flesh out? And, you know, I also realized that, you know, they may also say something that they want to accomplish that you as the adult feel like, that's not, you know, that's not a real goal, kid. Like, you know, I mean, if, and I'm just, you know, shooting off the hip, but, you know, if they say, oh, well, you know, I want to be able to go outside and play more. You're like, well, what's going outside? You know, like, what benefit is there in going outside and playing? What I realized is, you know, giving them, I mean, as Toya said earlier, a voice and giving them an opportunity to set their own goals, no matter how small or, you know, how frivolous we think as adults they are, that is a goal that came out of their head. I mean, you know, my children love to go to Five Below and take $5 and blow it on, you know, a toy that they will break in 5 minutes. Hey, listen, if that is your thing to do, you know, if their goal is to earn some, you know, some allowance money to then, you know, once every 2 weeks go to Five Below, to, it don't matter if I don't, you know, agree with it or like it. I think the beauty of it is, you know, them having their own goal at whatever age they are and to, you know, for them to be able to fulfill it or to put steps, you know, toward to it. And so, you know, when I talk about doing this parental inventory, it's not a lot. It's just these three questions. You know, one, how can I be a better parent, basically? Two, you know, what do I want for them? Because I think I do know as parents, we do know what our kids need. And so I know there are things that we're going to want for them, but also giving them a voice to ask, well, what do they want for themselves? So, yeah. So, you know, again, I mean, if, you know, you just take those three questions, write them out, write them down. I do believe seeing the answers to those questions, you know, can be beneficial to you. And now, you know, what I may get into a different episode, because, I mean, this may be, you know, this can be an entire thing in itself. Is where you might say, okay, Chris, well, you know, I've written down these questions and I've kind of jotted down there. How do I put this into play? Like, how do I actually, you know, like, for me, right? How do I get Bina to be a better reader? How do I get Emmanuel to dedicate more time to music? And, you know, and what I've learned is that, you know, there are a bunch of different systems that you can put into play. Just like there are different learning styles. I'm a visual learner, right? there's a bunch of different ways you can go about measuring and tracking a goal. You know, like, for example, people always talk to me about SMART goals, you know, be specific and measurable and attainable and realistic and timely, which I think that's a great system. But, you know, there are other systems out there. If that system works for you, great. If it doesn't work for you, try something else. I know people who have laughed at me because I tell them I do my budgeting in Google Excel, like Google Spreadsheets. And they're like, well, why don't you use, you know, like an app or, you know, and I'm like, I know it sounds very rudimentary, but it's, again, it's a system that works for me. Okay. I've tried apps. I've tried to download different things to, you know, put my budget in and have it connect to my bank. It just didn't flow for me, you know? And so, you know, that in itself might just be a different episode just to kind of go into, well, okay. Yeah. If I have all these parent goals, and you could have a parent goal at the beginning of the year, you could have a goal that pops up. Maybe, you know, little Timmy started playing football and you want to have a goal for him to, you know, practice X amount of times a week and make this team. Okay. That, you know, football season don't start to the fall time. So, you know, and for my out of United States listeners, this is not soccer, but American football. They're like, football is year round though. You know, but again, I mean, I'd love to do an episode where we just kind of talk about, you know, different kind of systems as a parent you can put into play to help, you know, you and them reach those goals. All right. So I hope that was a little good snippet, you know, something to get your taste buds wet for the new year. My hope now that I have kind of gotten back on the wagon, is it on the wagon or off the wagon when you get back on the wagon, is that I record some more of these episodes and, you know, and y'all get alerts and this guy Chris is, I heard him back in March. He's back again in December. So, so yeah, and let's talk about season two. You know, I have not logged into my podcasting platform in about 9 months, so things have changed. You know, just so you know, there is no more voice memo leaving, so they've taken that feature away. I know, sorry. However, they do have now the ability to add polls and to add questions. So after this episode, or probably with this episode, actually, I'll be adding in a poll or a question. Anchor has now been taken over by Spotify. So I believe you can only really answer the polls or questions if you have the Spotify app for podcasting. I also am going to be redoing the website, becomingagreatdad.com, as a web developer. I change websites out like I change my underwear every couple months, and I just have never, the look and the feel of the current site just has never set well with me. So you'll probably be seeing a new website coming out at some point as well too. So thank you again for listening. As always, visit becomingagreatdad.com. You can find his podcast everywhere, Apple, Google, you know, all the Play Stores and the Face Spaces and the Google Books. Until next time, thank you very much.